vibes is really greater in the mix of time and the digging body flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the digging body flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the digging body flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the digging body flavor. Bobby sang the silent ear. Bobby sang in my silence. Bobby sang the black onyx of the tie-dye moccasins of Yoruba. Bobby sang the black jewel son of cards of morning. Bobby sang the mint julep of the red clef Georgia. Sang the toe-tap aqua shoes of Brother Hines. Bobby sang the silent ear. Sang the turntail of my mind. Bobby sang the force of Everest and sunshine trimming rainfall. Singing the secret war pit of the twisted line. Singing the native wicked wide-eyed look of Jupiter.
Bobby sang, I hear you.
A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the digging Bobby flavor. A poem could be safer, but the mix is really greater in the mix of time and the digging Bobby flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the digging Bobby flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the digging Bobby flavor.
Bobby sings by Ron Allen. Welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, coming at you live from Skid Row Studios, and I'm in the studio with my co-host, Earlene Anthony. Our call-in number is 1-800-893-9562. Now, this week on the Qumran Report, we will hear some voices from the community with Ricardo Porter and also Rich Presido in the studio with us. Welcome to the Qumran Report.
Thank you.
Now, before we get into our discussion, I would like to play a clip from a performance of If the Shoe Fit, which was performed Friday, April the 17th, 2015, at the Los Angeles Poverty Department Museum. It's a little short, one-minute clip.
My name is J.R.F. within a cage. How can you lock me up in a cage? Within a cage for some misdeed done? Within a cage? All you can do is feed my rage. You can't teach me anything good within a cage, except monsters control the locks. And in my terror, I lost the key within a cage. I plead and I pray every day, but it simply gets worse within a cage. Animosity worsens, empathy is lost, and the D-A-Y-S days turn into a D-A-Z-E days within a cage.
Okay, that was Andrea Ross performing that piece at the L.A. Poverty Department Museum. And I'm delighted to have with us in the studio Ricardo Porter. He works with the L.A. Poverty Department. Welcome to the Qumran Report.
Thank you for having me.
Now, can you talk about your involvement with the Los Angeles Poverty Department and some of the other projects that you're working on?
Well, right now on Saturdays, I think it's Thursday through Saturdays, it's the Skid Row History Museum. And basically, it's on 430 South Broadway for anybody who would like to come down. And you can get more information by going to lapovertydep.org. And that's the website for our organization, which was started in 1985 by John Malpe. When we started out, we were at the Inner City Law Center, and it was on San Pedro next to the Weingart when I first attended. But my involvement started in 1989, but the group started in 85. Back then, we didn't have flyers. We just had handbills, and we stick them on the poles, and we come out with a bullhorn and do a show. Mm-hmm. We didn't have grants, nothing. And we just stuck in there, and after all these years now, you know, we established. And right now what I'm doing is helping with the Skid Row History Museum, and we have a exhibit called the Silver Book, Blue Book, and it's about these two books that were written to develop Los Angeles. One was designed to, the Silver Book was designed to take Los Angeles and make it into, I mean, Skid Row downtown, and make it into a developer's dream place, where the Blue Book came about as a means to stop them from taking the poor people out and the affordable housing all the way out and messing with, you know, what was set up on Skid Row. And Jeff Dietrich and members of the community, they helped develop this so that people could have fair housing and access to resources. And that's why that whole section of Skid Row is carved out the way it is. Otherwise, it would be developed as well as Spring or Broadway or anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing on Broadway is we're part of the revival of Broadway. That's why the museum is on Broadway. Otherwise, it could be just about anywhere, because I'm sure you know, L.A. Poverty Department, we travel all through the world, mm-hmm. and work with groups with different languages. We just did the play Agents and Assets in Spanish in Brooklyn and Queens out that way. The group did. And then we did State of Incarceration at the Queens Museum last February. So the group constantly is on the ground breaking of creative arts and development. And me, I've always been in it all mm-hmm. my life. And so I just, and in my curiosity, I approached them in 89, and we've kind of coalesced throughout that time. And I put shows on in liquor stores. And I once put on a series of shows in liquor stores in Miami in the Liberty City District, where it's like super poor and a lot of crime and hopelessness. And mm-hmm. I went by where the Cultural Center is on Martin Luther King Boulevard, of all places, and nobody was in the Cultural Center. So I said, well, why don't I bring the Cultural Center to the people? So I approached some of the proprietors, and everybody's out there selling dope and doing their thing, and all the dope dealers said, hey, do it, man. Hey, yeah, we'll support you. And everybody supported it. They got this giant pickle jar, and they mm-hmm. put all their loot in there, and we gave the money to the kids mm-hmm. as winnings for the dance contest we threw. We
threw a talent. City.
Yeah, this is in the heart of Liberty City, where mm-hmm. the police are kind of need an escort to go up in yep. there. It's rough because there's nothing good except football players coming out of there.
Yeah, I
nothing
remember.
Else is coming out. All those professional football players, a lot of them come out of Liberty City.
I remember when they had the riots up there doing.
Oh, it was terrible.
Last time they had the Super Bowl.
It was terrible over there. And I was there like in between all of that. But I'm not a rioter. I'm a type of person that I try to go help when things happen.
Let me ask you this then. Because we was in Skid Row yesterday passing out hygiene kits at the Church of the Nazarene.
Oh, yeah.
And things seem like they've really, really gotten bad down in Skid Row. What are your thoughts on the homeless and what's happening in the Skid Row area?
Well, the biggest problem that Skid Row has is the bureaucracy. There are people who have control over the housing, financing, and the issuance of housing. The people who sign you up and okay you and pat you on the back and say you can go in the hotel, they're running a monopoly. I mean, me, myself, I couldn't even get an apartment on Skid Row. And I've been down there longer than everybody that's talking about Skid Row down there. I was down there before the SRO. I was down there in 84 when the mm-hmm. Olympics came. Mm-hmm. When I first came, I saw none of this stuff was there then. You know, Skid Row was all up on Broadway, Sprung. They call it Sprung, not Spring.
Mm-hmm.
And they was smoking and hypodermic needles, everything right on Spring. None of these developments were there. It was whatever. And so what's going on down there now is because of all the bureaucracy. And I'm not saying a politician. I'm saying just the whole program is so antiseptic and so thought out from a collegiate standpoint, an intellectual standpoint, that it has nothing to do with the homeless. Mm-hmm. So the homeless, they sleep on the street because they are confused as how the process works. And so if they're paying all these people and donating and getting these grants, why isn't it matching up? It's not matching up because it's all about those paychecks that these smart individuals at the Weingart facilities, I mean, they're doing some things, but they're not attacking the problem head on because the people are sleeping right around them. The Midnight Mission, what? They're sleeping on the ground. You guys know that. The union closed up their quarters where they used to let people sleep on cots. So now people are just tinted all over the place. So it's like it's a laughing stock. You got this building that's big enough to get everybody on San Pedro into the building, but they can't seem to get in there because I think religion and tax deductible dollars are starting to conflict because some of the missions want you to go through their clergy programs and recovery programs. Well, some of the people don't understand that because they're on crack and heroin and domestic violence and all this type of stuff. So we almost have to say, let's do this first and let people develop in a living situation and go to school maybe, and then they can decide if they want to go through our clergy program. Let the ones who want to go through that program go. Let the other people have somewhere to go and wash their bodies. Go ahead.
How about the what I see an increase in is the tents. I mean, tents look like they double up. I remember when there was no tents in front of the Union Rescue Mission or the Church of the Nazarene. Or now it's tents that's right in front of where we were yesterday, passing out hygiene kits.
But check this out. Another reason it's more tents, you used to could rent a hotel room just on the fly. And you could get you a week, 2 weeks. Now all of the hotels are like a SRO, single occupancy, loft-like environment, mixed use. So it's almost difficult to get in there because the people who are part of the mixed use get a certain segment of the rooms. And then the people who fall under working low income get a certain segment of the rooms. Then they save up whatever is left for the special opportunities that they find themselves in of getting people to do long-term housing. And then here you go. You got all these lofts surrounding all of that. And so it's all, everything's interconnected with getting you confused. So they don't seem to have a clear basic formula.
And how much so do the, I know realignment that started last October, where they let it out, a lot of nonviolent offenders that was coming out, most of them come right through Skid Row. And now, what was the other one? It was AB 42, 42nd, 47, something like that, where they finally begin to break down that crack cocaine, powder cocaine, resentencing a lot of individuals. What kind of impact do that have when individuals coming back to the community?
Well, what it is it's creating more tents. Because the people who are coming out, when they go into to the institutions, right, they don't have no incentive to go to school, get education, because they know when they come out, they got this eight ball on them saying, you're a felon and you're not hireable. Okay, but it's jobs that you can do. So when you go to apply for those jobs, it depends on what you did as a felon that determined if you are able to get those particular jobs. And so a lot of people are in a situation where they're coming out and this is a different world for them. They don't understand it. They're still catching up.
Now, the interfaith community, what can the interfaith community do to impact or is they part of the problem?
I think the interfaith community need to start looking for jobs for people because they talk good about people changing their lives, but I think all of the, especially in the Black community, in the Latino community, in the Asian community, the people who say they're here to help, they need to start, you know, because I hire people myself. And if I can hire people and give them something, like right now I'm doing a thing where I'm showcasing artists at different venues. And it's called Infinite Movement Presents. I've been doing it for years. And a few members of our community have come and perform, and I gave them some money, a little stipend for coming out and performing their work. Now, if I can do that, and I don't own a big corporation or a company or have all these people work for me, why can't some of these entities who own businesses do the same, set aside certain funds for getting people back in the workforce, well, giving them skills and a work experience mm-hmm. so they can put that on their resume and take that to another job where they can become permanent or start their own businesses uh-huh. based on what they learn from being at those companies. Because mm-hmm. you don't have to keep the people. They all hire temps, so hire them as temps.
Mm-hmm. A couple more things. Before we move on, for those that want to get involved with what you're doing with projects like that, what's the contact number?
They can contact you mm-hmm. guys here at the station, mm-hmm. and then they can call me directly at 213-257-7505. I'm booking for Culver City. There's a facility I'm going to start May 1st. And we're going to have live music, but you have to be able to play your music. And you also have to have your acoustic instrument and your mic and amp to go with it, because I'm booking it. I'm not setting it up. I'm booking it. So understand, as an artist, you need to do the part that you need to do. Mm-hmm. And if I book you, you come in, I'm going to give them something like $5 a song, and then they get their tips.
Okay.
Very few places let you do that. House of Blues, all those places, you got to bring so many X amount of people in order to get paid off of that. So I'm not asking them to bring people. I'm asking them because we got traffic already. They're playing for the traffic of the business that I'm going to be hosting this venue. The first venue that I'm working with in Culver City is called Honey's Kettle.
Okay.
And it's in Culver and Washington. And it's a well-established gentleman who cooks fried chicken in Culver City. Mm-hmm. And the people at Sony Pictures love it. They're over there. It's mostly the people in the business district that come mm-hmm. in there. They're mm-hmm. in and out. And it's called Honey's Kettles. He has a brand of chicken, biscuits, flapjacks, all of this type of stuff. 21 variety salad. Wow. And he is really on his game. He had one in Compton. But he wanted to focus on this one. And basically, I know him from the community, so we linked back up. We were doing this, and I was bringing people from downtown, and they were performing there. And I stopped for a while to work on my other projects, but I have been doing stuff all over the place.
Let me ask you this. How would this impact? One of the major issues in the Skid Row area is dealing with the mentally ill. You know what? That's a whole separate issue in that Skid Row area. What's happening?
No, here? Mental illness is across the board with LA. Period. It's mm-hmm. not just Skid Row. Mm-hmm. People, let me share this with you, because I work on Crenshaw. I go to the Merd. I'm doing some stuff. I just gave away 100 tacos over on Normandy and King at this business down there called Natural Soul Food Cafe, and I went and got with them, and we gave the guys on the street 100 tacos. Mm-hmm. Just gave it to them, and they ate the tacos, and they were so happy. And I didn't preach to them or nothing. I just say, hey, eat some tacos. And it was turkey tacos. And, mm-hmm. they're like $2 or $3, $4 a piece.
But what was the business?
It's called Natural Soul Food Nonprofit Cafe. Mm-hmm. And we gave them tacos. And then this Saturday coming up, There's an insurance business.
You got some on the 25th, right?
I got some on the 25th coming up. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be three doors down from that. See, I'm going from business to business doing things. Mm-hmm. This one is called, it's part of Infinite Movement Presents. Also, I'm bringing Mexican rock bands in. Mm-hmm. And they're going to play in an open house at Global Rates Insurance Company, which is right there on King off of Normandy. And they're going to do a show around 5 o'clock, so people are free to come over there.
It's a cover charge?
No. Okay. It's free. Mm-hmm. I want everything to be free so people can come somewhere. I want them to have somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. So people can come over there at 5 o'clock and enjoy the food. I mean, and that was the other thing. Enjoy the music and meet the owners of the business. It's like an open house. Come meet them. They just moved in. Mm-hmm. They moved in. I was the first person that greeted them, hugged them and told them, you're family. And they are, English is their second language. Mm-hmm. But I say, you guys are our family. Y'all need anything, let us know. And like I even told the guys out front, hey, be easy with them. Help them out. They trying to start a business right here. And they sell insurance. And I just embraced them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody okay. didn't tell me to do that. I did it because it's my instinct
mm-hmm.
to do these type of things.
Okay. Let me, one more question I want to ask you, and then I want to talk to Rich for a while. What kind of impact can the cultural arts have on changing the situation, especially like in the community, in places like Skid Row? Because there's a lot of artists that fall from the community, different reasons, substance abuse, whatever. There's a lot of talent down in the Skid Row area. How can that be organized?
Well, the arts are important because it gives people something to show people how they can overcome. Like, mm-hmm. I've done plays, and I've done street plays. I've done events that never is on the news. There's no pictures. A lot of the stuff I've done down there with these guys. I hold classes in Gladys Park where I talk to guys about globalism and
mm-hmm.
the economic development systems of the world for like 2-3 hours. I had an undivided attention. And the guys right there in Gladys Park, you'll be surprised. They stopped selling drugs and just sit there and listen. And I don't announce it like, hey, we're going to have a class on globalism and economic platforms over. And I just do it. I just get the guys and start talking to them. So I said that to say all the times we did plays and they know who we are, Melvin. Mm-hmm. And so when we come back to do stuff, they have more respect than some of our paying patrons. Because
mm-hmm.
they'll just, oh, yeah, you're that guy was in that L.A. poverty play. Are you that guy was in drama stage Qumran?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a guy was part of that artist collective? And they respect us. They respect the art. They respect what we bring because it's something that was taken from them a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, the arts and this airwaves that we got going now, it's highly needed mm-hmm. because some people are thinking suicide. Some people think their lives are worthless, and it's our creative spirit and energy that we bring, our passion, our life's blood of creative art form that's causing them to think second thoughts about some mm-hmm. of the things they're thinking of getting back into crime. Some of them are moving away from crime because they discovered background acting. Mm-hmm. Some are moving away from theft and prostitution because they discovered doing commercials through mm-hmm. somebody doing a workshop or showing them how to write a grant or showing them how to go put their website or their blog mm-hmm. page together. Any of us can do something to just show somebody that don't know something how to do it, and
okay.
you'll see a difference.
Okay.
If we can each, anybody listening to my voice, just pick somebody and show them how to do something creative. And you'll see a difference if each one of us just take the time to do it.
Okay. Because I want to, eventually I'm going to come back probably to this latter part of the show. I want to talk a little about your cable TV show that you used to do and some of your thoughts on projects to impact young people. But let me talk to Rick for a minute. Welcome to the Qumran Report.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, what is this modern... And what's that word?
Modern Lectionaries.
Yeah, and the Progressive Ministry and Bible Studies.
Yes, it's I'm a progressive Christian. I'm doing biblical commentary from a progressive Christian standpoint. It's focuses on social justice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what the Bible says, and I love the stuff you're doing, it sounds absolutely fabulous, is to lift up the poor. Jesus' ministry was a radical ministry. He wasn't in for the status quo. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. The poor shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to be said on the Bible and the way it's being interpreted. And we are now in a age of reformation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of changes going along. People are reading the Bible. We have new scholarship coming out of the Jesus Seminar and other scholars. And we're looking at the Bible from the perspective of the context in which the literature was written and in which Jesus lived. The political, historical, literary, social context and milieu what Don Dominic Crossan calls the matrix. Mm-hmm. And from mm-hmm. that, we can better understand what the scriptures are telling us. And rather than coming up with one or two sentence gimmicks, we are looking at the Bible from Jesus' ministry was inclusive. He focused on the marginalized. And so we're looking at it as a form of organizing to for social justice, to criticize and critique empire, and to bring Christians into and to apply the Bible to today.
Okay. Couple questions, because you know that's the Qumran Report. You know that's mm-hmm. where we get our name from, Qumran, the community where Jesus, John the Baptist, all of them, where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls at in 1947. I think the exhibit is going around now. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about? How do you think Jesus actually fit within the capitalistic economic system?
Capitalism wasn't around when Jesus was around. The way they did it then was by taxation. It was an empire. It's an empire today. As I told the people at the presentation we went to together, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The empire has been around much longer than capitalism has been around. So we're looking at something much more fundamental, much more structured. We have all the same institutions. We have the elite in the Sadducees. We have the empire in the Roman Empire. Those correspond to like the United States in this country and the religious right. We have the poor still. So all the constituent institutions on which society is based are represented in the Bible. And when we look at that, we begin to see that the real problem is empire and the oppression of the poor. And that's a lot of what Jesus was talking about. So when, let's see.
Well, how about the, prior to the Roman Empire, the Babylonian Empire, you know, the Code of Hammurabi, you know, was the earlier form of, because when I think of capitalism, I think of profit, you know, economic system based upon profit. I know modern capitalism came in with the probably the Atlantic slave trade that helped develop what we have now. But during the time of Jesus, probably the only difference is you didn't have a middle class. You had the upper class, and you had the slaves. You know, didn't have a penal system because Rome, they wasn't set up that way. They either took slaves and stuff like that. But I know Jesus made some very profound statements that I think about all the time. One, as I remember the rich man that came to Jesus and he wanted to join Jesus. And Jesus, according to scripture, told him that he had to give up absolutely everything. He didn't say anything about you got to make tithes or anything like that. He said that you had to give up everything to join him. And then I know when you look at the Essene community, in which a lot of the book of Acts is based upon, they kept everything in common. Their whole economic system was in common. I throw that out in the sense that I see so many ministries, especially the TV ministry, that generate millions and billions of dollars and stuff like that. How do that fit into how do they tie that into somebody like Jesus, who made it very clear, make Rome, Rome, God, God, made a separation?
The ministries are what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. They're represented, in my mind, by the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the Bible. So when Jesus is criticizing the Pharisees, or the Pharisees are criticizing him. Of course, the Pharisees were not as bad of people as they're made out to be. They were the religious people of that day. They were like the religious right. They were good people. They thought they were doing the right thing. They were following the law. They were often following it literally. Very similar to what's going on now. So, yeah, with that, the story of the rich man, that's how to get into heaven, to give up everything. I was reading some work by a feminist scholar. And what really needs to happen in some ways is to reverse everything with the bottom and those voices lifted up and the powerful and those voices reduced. So
now, because when you read the works of Flavius Josephus, you know, he wrote the, as a matter of fact, he come from the same town that Jesus come from, Galilee, and he lived during the same time period. So I you know, I consider him to be one of the most authentic historian there. And then he talk about there were more than just the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You had a two other parties that was connected, that was called the Zealots, the Essenes, the revolutionary party, the one that really started the war between the Romans and the Jews that went on for 7 years, in which the temple was destroyed. But what I'm looking at now, when you look at Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, no doubt in my mind that all three of them come out of the same source material, because all three of them traced the physically and spiritually through Abraham. And then I'm watching what's happening today, you know, with the different revolutionary groups. And it seemed like they going through the same thing that Christianity went through with the Inquisition, when they were doing all of these horrible things to force everybody to convert to Christianity or Catholicism at that time. What are your thoughts on how, like what we was talking about early, how can the interfaith community come back together to really make an impact of what's happening in these communities here?
One thing to recognize is a big difference between some of the revolutionary groups and what Jesus was doing is Jesus was nonviolent. He's a central figure in the nonviolence movement. So violence was not the answer. We had the destruction of the temple as a result of violence. Jesus was teaching a nonviolent approach to change. And his act of sacrifice on the cross was not so that our personal sins would be forgiven, because that's a personal salvation. No, salvation is about saving from oppression, release from captivity, liberation from oppression. It's used mostly in reference to the Babylonian, the release from Babylonian captivity. So this is the central issue. We need to move people towards nonviolent direct action as a spiritual practice. And that's one of the other things I'm doing. I have a social action leadership team, which I attempt to get progressive Christians active in social movements and actually get them in leadership positions in social movements so we can build coalitions to have a stronger impact on public policy. Because while we can go around and putting Band-Aids on a lot of problems that are in this area and in, with the homeless, we really need a change of heart in the United States, and we need a change in policy. Because the only government can address these problems in an efficient and way. The problem is just too big for individual churches to handle. And churches are not really set up to do that. Churches are organizing institutions. They're the greatest organizing institution ever created. And the sooner we understand that and start using it that way, the better. And I want to assure you, you don't have to worry about anything, because the other side already knows this and they've been using it that way for a long time already.
Well, let me ask you this, just one more little thing. I believe in the whole concept of nonviolence and peace also. But how do you define the act of when Jesus whooped out the money changers? Wouldn't that be considered a violent act?
Not necessarily. It was a demonstration. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of things in demonstrations. But we're not inflicting violence on people. Okay. He's pointing out the corruption of the temple. Just like we have a corrupt church today. You see, the church is falling. This is Walter Wink's theology. All human institutions are fallen. But all human institutions are also redeemable. That's the message of the Gospels. So rather than saying that one institution or economic institution is totally unable to be redeemed, that's total lack of faith in the human beings. We need to restore the purpose of our institutions. Because they can be both angelic or demonic, depending on how we use them. And then they create a large distance between the actions that we take by, say, voting for them or paying for consumer products, and the exploitation that happens or the abuse that happens on the other end. In other words, we might say we need protection from the terrorist, but what happens is we vote people into power, and then the system self-selects people who are willing to do the dirty work. So that's why we have all this torture and abuse and murder that the United States is committing, overthrowing other countries, when the United States people are voting for this and not really turning a blind eye as long as it serves their interests. Okay. We need a change of heart.
Okay. We're going to take a break, but when I come back, I also want to look at whether there was a difference in the Apostle Paul's mission, you know, as opposed to what the Messiah Jesus was talking about. And then we're going to talk about some solutions on how the interfaith community, you know, some of your suggestions, Ricardo, can impact areas like Skid Row and other parts of the community. Let's take a break for our community calendar. Before we take a break for our community calendar, I want to do one more little audio clip from the performance, If the Shoe Fit, that was performed at the Skid Row, at the Los Angeles Poverty Department Museum last Friday. And this is a short clip. Kevin Michael Key, he's performing a piece.
My name is DeAndre Wiggins. I am being held illegally in prison, in solitary confinement, in Malone, New York. In 1997, I was arrested on false charges brought by my ex-girlfriend. At the trial, I had a 7-count indictment and was forced to represent myself against a biased judge and 2 district attorneys. The judge submitted, over my objection, assault second degree as a lesser included offense. After the evidence was closed and after closing arguments, I was acquitted on all 7 counts, but convicted of assault in the second degree and sentenced to 25 years to life. I was transferred from the Westchester County Jail to Rikers Island in New York City, where they had me jump and my nose was broken. I was then sent to the Queens House of Detention, where I was stabbed in the eye and beat in the head with a phone by a CO, resulting and the loss of hearing in one ear and seizures. All of this was done to keep me isolated and in a state of hopelessness so that I would do what they wanted.
Okay, now we're going to move into our community calendar.
This is the community calendar for upcoming events, and this is for all Skid Row poets. We have an upcoming Ron Allen Fried Poetry Contest that's coming up. It's going to be at the Los Angeles Poverty Department Museum. The address is 44 South Broadway on the second floor, downtown Los Angeles. There will be 2 workshops. The first workshop will be held on Tuesday, April the 21st from 3 to 5 p.m., the instructor will be Melvin Ishmael Johnson. The second workshop will be held on Tuesday, April the 28th from 3 to 5 p.m. The instructor will be Carmen Vega. There will be several readings of the poetry. The first one will be Friday, May the 8th. And the second one will be Friday, May the 15th. And the third one will be Friday, May the 22nd. From 6:30 to 8 p.m., there will be 3 prizes awarded. First prize will be $100. The second prize will be $50. The third prize will be $25. Now, for more information on this project and this contest, please call the Los Angeles Poverty Department, 213-413-1077, or contact them at lapovertydept.org. On Wednesday, May the 6th, at 5:30 p.m., and this is an event that's held every first Wednesday of the month, it's called Tech Talk, and it's a workshop for engineers and interns and Skid Row hosts and potential show hosts to come together and discuss ways and means to have high-quality shows. They also talk about social media like Facebook, Twitter, and much more. There will be a guest speaker, a guest musician. Refreshments will be served. Also, the founder of Skid Row Studios, Jeremy, will be on hand to answer any questions that you may have. The location is the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard. This is at the corner of Santa Fe and Olympic, and this is in downtown Los Angeles. The zip code is 921. For more information, please call 213-479-1764 or DramaStage1@yahoo.com. And you're asked to save the date, Saturday, May the 8th, 2015. Drama Stage Qumran, Nasana Play Reading Series present a stage play, Catch the Tiger, written by Melvin Ishmael Johnson and directed by Bill White. This play is about J. Edgar Hoover's efforts to bring down Marcus Garvey. And that will be at 6 p.m. The location is the United University Church on the campus of USC, 817 West 34th Street. And this is at the corner of Jefferson and Hoover in Los Angeles, 989.
May the 16th.
Excuse me, that will be May the 16th, 2015 at 6 p.m. There will be free parking. It's a free event. Light refreshments will be served. Wheelchair and disability accessible. And for more information on the reading of Catch the Tiger, that's going to be held on May the 16th, 2015 at 6 p.m., please call 213-479-1764 or contact DramaStage1@yahoo.com. If you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to DramaStage1@yahoo.com. Attention, Earlene Anthony. And the call-in number for our show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our host.
Okay, thank you, Miss Arlene Anthony. We're back with our two in-studio guests, Ricardo Porter, Rick Presido. I want to talk to both of you, but Ricardo, can you talk to us a little about some of the projects you have for young people? And can you talk about the cable TV show that you used to have? How did that come about? What was that like?
Well, what happened, I was doing a show, Just Don't Just Sit There, Do Something. And what the show was about was different things people can do to improve their lifestyle. It was like Two Time or something. You just sit there, and we had one where we talked about how to exercise when you have limited mobility. Then we had one on a cooking show, how to cook, you know, nice, inexpensive meals. And what I did with that, you know, as you well know, public access mm-hmm. is no longer public access. So mm-hmm. what I did, I took it to a form of writing workshops. And what I've been doing is working with artists. I have one lady, she's working on her book of poems in Pomona, and we've been rewriting some of her pieces and actually writing some of her pieces and some of her nonfiction. And different people across the city who are working on scripts and whatever. And so right now we're moving it into like writing projects, putting projects together well, and then taking those projects to the next step. So I said that to say, any interested young people, parents who want their kids to learn how to produce a script can contact the show's...
Well, and then we was talking about, hey, Skid Row Studios available to you now. You got the experience.
Yeah, and time slot. And I'll say one of my reasons for doing that is the content of today's films. I went to the viewing, or I'll say the viewing of Fast and the Furious, and the man got killed driving fast, right? They did everything possible to take that to the next step, jumping out of planes with parachutes. And okay, that's a movie, it's fantasy, but people take fantasy as reality in our society now. They go, oh, I can do that too. That's a great idea. So they go figure out ways to try some of this stuff. You see the skateboarders, how they act. And that's not a criticism. That's the reality of them watching this stuff.
Trying.
So one of the things motivated me, we need quality writing and story structures so we can teach the people values. We need to start teaching our public values again.
And do we start?
It's something like we're afraid of values. And we're scared to give people values.
And we should we start with the young people?
Have to, because some of the older people, they don't want to, not all, because I'm sure you're listening. If you're one of those older people who are teachable, this does not mean you. But a lot of our older people are the reason these kids are so messed up. Because what do? Walk around with the can of beer. They pants is hanging off, too. Because guess what? They spend it on beer instead of a belt. Mm-hmm. And it's a values thing we got that's not there.
Okay.
They don't teach values in our inner city community.
Who's teaching it? We're going to come back because I want your closing comments. So I want to get back to Rick. I want to ask you, Rich, about how do we get more young people involved with the church, your teachings? Because I agree, like you, I consider the Messiah Jesus to be the greatest teacher that ever existed. So how do we get more young people involved? Because there's been a big drop off.
We need to bring the scripture back to reality. Right now it's very esoteric. It's a gimmick. Jesus died for your sins. It's a sales pitch. The first thing they do is sell you something, and then once you buy it, then they can make you believe almost anything else they want to tell you. We need a interpretation, a story that people can relate to, that is today, that is today's world. For example, the Bible, while it was set in 2,000 years ago, is essentially the same world today. Now, there's very important differences, and we need to look at the cultural, the social, the political, in order to understand what was going on back then, and also to understand the scripture. But when we look at it in its most essential, bare bones way, we can see that this is a story about the real world. It was the real world then, it's the real world now. This is how the world works. And people who are looking for answers may not be looking for an answer about where they go when they die. They are looking for an answer about now. How do I live now? How can I find peace now? How can I change the world now? How can I transform myself now? And that's what we need to focus on, to help bring more people back to the church.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great point. Mm-hmm. We still got a little time on our hand. Let's go around for some closing comments and contact information, because I would love to see you guys think about trying to develop you or some kind of show that's, because I think you got something important to say, and this is what Skid Row Studio is supposed to be about, you know, creating the vehicle to really touch and organize people out there. So let's go around for some closing comments and contact information? Let's start with Ricardo.
Oh, well, they can contact me at Ricardo Porter, RICCARLOPORTER1@yahoo.com. And they can also contact me on Facebook at Infinite Movement or Infinite Movement Sports, because we have a sports apparatus, too, where we take people hiking, take them outside to work out if they need to lose weight, okay. Give them dieting information so they can go to Infinite Movement Sports, or they can just go to Ricardo Porter at Facebook. And basically, those are the three ways to get me the quickest. Mm-hmm. And they can come right here to the station if they have a comment or need some information. Because one of the things we want to do is to help people with their resumes and, you know, their business plan and their life plan. Because that's something, if I start doing some shows, I want to talk to people about having a plan for themselves.
All right.
And the steps that they can do to write it and what they need to have in there, things they can do to improve their process of becoming successful at being themselves, because we have to be successful at being us if we want to be successful in life.
Okay. Rich.
I have a blog at modernlectionaries.com, and lectionaries is spelled just like it sounds, LECTIONARIES. We're on Facebook, Modern Lectionaries. I also have the Social Action Leadership Team on Facebook. You can find me on Meetup. I have an email. If you want to email me directly, it's rich_procida, and that's PROCIDA at justice.com. And my phone number, 562-665-3317, if you want to call me.
Okay. Thank you, Rich. I want to play one more little quick clip. Anthony Taylor performing at the Skid Row, at the L.A. Poverty Department Museum.
I shall not die. I shall not die a thousand deaths of compromise, giving up names in exchange for food or blanket. I will bite my own arm to smother my screams and rob you of the satisfaction when you disassemble me. I shall not die shamefully, my chin against my chest, kneeling before the humiliating hole I dug for myself, waiting upon the pistol shot. I will always refuse the blindfold. I shall not die abandoned and alone, obliterated from the memories of those I love. My fate never questioned. Someone will always stand in the rain outside your office window, my name on a cardboard sign. No matter how many times you cut my throat or hang me from my own bed sheet, bludgeon me with your nightstick or fire your bullets into my brain, whether you encircle me in the South African Bantustan or a Coca-Cola factory in Bolivia, or alley behind the stone wall, or a prison in the heart of it all, I shall not die. A million times I shall not die. You will only get my corpse. My name is Sean Swain. All I have is this pen, this paper, and the truth. Please remember that I live.
Okay. Right. I would like to extend a special thanks to Ricardo Porter, Rich Pasito, my co-host Earlene Anthony. Please listen to past shows of the Qumran Report by Googling in Qumran Report. Thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report, and from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, may the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. I leave you with the song that opened the show, Bobby Sang by Ron Allen.
Is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken body flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken body flavor. The poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken body flavor. A poem could be safer, but the voice is really greater in the mix of time and the chicken body flavor. Bobby sang the silent ear.